I and his young disciple sat side by side underneath the shade of a large oak tree. "Help me, Rabbi," said the disciple. "I am a double-minded man. The law of the Lord tells me, 'The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want.' But oh, how I want." "And Rabbi," said the younger man, "the law of the Lord tells me that my soul finds rest in God alone. But oh, how my soul finds rest in everything else." "And Rabbi, the man after God's own heart told us to ask and seek after only one thing, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. But my heart seeks after so many things." And the disciple raised his voice to a whisper. "And Rabbi, the beauty I gaze upon brings me to shame. How can I become a man after God's own heart when I am so unfaithful?" "My son, listen to this story I am about to tell you," said the rabbi. "A skylark flew above the parched and desolate ground of the desert. Times were hard for all living things, and worms were not easy to come by for creatures of the air. Even so, the skylark sang a winsome song day after day as he sought his daily portion. As each day passed, difficulty to finding food grew more and more extreme. In his hunger, he grew restless, and in his restlessness, he forgot how to sing. And one day, the skylark heard an unfamiliar voice. It was the voice of a traveling peddler, and the skylark could not believe what the peddler seemed to be selling. 'Worms, worms, mouth-watering worms,' cried the peddler. 'Come right up and get your delicious worms today.' The skylark hopped closer to the peddler, drawing nearer to this manna from heaven. 'Worms today, two worms for one feather,' said the peddler. And at the mention of worms, the skylark felt a pang of hunger. 'Well, my feathers are many,' thought the skylark, imagining the delicious worms in his beak. 'Surely I will not miss two small feathers.' So, unable to resist, the skylark plucked two of his smallest feathers and surrendered them to the peddler, who, unknown to the skylark at the time, was the unholy one in disguise. As promised, the skylark had his choice of the fattiest, juiciest worms he had ever seen, all without needing to dig at the unyielding ground. So the skylark took a hold of the four glistening worms and swallowed them whole. Such a small sacrifice, yet such a great reward, the skylark told himself. Two small feathers is of no concern to me. With his stomach full, the skylark stepped up and began to soar. And as he did, he began to sing again. The next day, the skylark swooped and sang until he met the peddler once again. And just as before, the peddler offered him the same thing, two worms for one feather. So the skylark feasted on these delicious worms until he had his fill. And so it went day after day, and times were still hard for all living things, and worms were not easy to come by for the creatures of the air. Now one day, after finishing the worms, the skylark attempted to take flight. And instead of soaring, he plummeted to the ground with a thud. Stunned, but grateful to be alive, the skylark realized he had no more feathers. Of course, he could no longer fly. Once the skylark realized he had given up all of his feathers and he could not fly, he came to his senses. Desperate, he hopped and stumbled through the desert to gather worms, one small one here and one small one there. He gathered all these worms day after day until he finally had a small pile of worms, and he returned to the peddler. "Here are enough worms in exchange for my feathers. I need them back." The devil, however, just laughed and said, "You can't have your feathers. You got your worms, and I have your feathers. And after all, a deal is a deal." As the rabbi finished speaking, the young apprentice noticed a tear rolling down the rabbi's face. "Rabbi, why the tear?" the disciple asked. "The heart of God breaks when we give our feathers away for worms," said the rabbi. "Even more so, his heart breaks when we try to buy our feathers back. For only God can restore our feathers." So this story comes from a book titled Surfacing for God, Discovering the Divine Desire Beneath Sexual Struggle by Michael John Cusick. And now, Michael goes into another part after this story, and we're going to get into that later. And I'm going to be referring back to this story as we go through our discussion today on pornography. And our scripture that was read for us this morning, and thank you, Pete, for reading it, talks about not loving the world. Why? Well, because our world today has a big problem, lust. And I would even argue that lust is a bigger problem today than it was when John was writing this letter due to the industry of pornography. And today, we're not only going to be talking about the topic of pornography, we're going to expose it. We are going to expose this darkness into the light. And I'm going to start off this way by saying we are being lied to. Just as the skylark in the story today was being lied to, this morning I'm going to be talking about the lies that pornography has set in the world today. And I'll be honest, and part of the reason why I'm sitting down this morning is because this is a heavy topic. This is an extremely heavy topic, but I believe that God has given me a message. A message he wants his people to hear because God cares. And so do I. So before I get into these lies, there's some things I want us to hear based off of the research and the reading that I've been doing on this topic. And I also just want to thank all of those who have been reaching out and praying for this series that we've been in, reaching out and praying for me for this morning and have sent resources. I've truly felt your prayers as I've been reading on this topic, and I thank you wholeheartedly for that. So a couple things I want us to know. Where does the word pornography or porn come from? Well, it's actually scripturally based. Pornea is the original Greek word that is used in the Bible. It actually occurs 25 times in the New Testament. Now, there are many different translations to this word that we see in our Bibles today. The KJV, King James Version, translates this word to fornication. The NIV and ESV translate the word to immorality or sexual immorality. And the NLT translate the word to unfaithful. And as there are many different translations to this word pornea, there are also many definitions that go with it. And John Freeman, as Mark said, who's going to be here with us on Wednesday for our Bible study, I met with him and he helped me rein the definition into this right here. Pornea, anything the heart uses to satisfy myself sexually outside of God's parameters. Anything the heart uses, from what we watch, to what we read, to what we think about, anything the heart uses to satisfy myself sexually outside of God's parameters. The next thing I want us to know before we get into the lies of pornography, this is an and topic, A-N-D. And what do I mean by that? This is a struggle for both men and women. Many are under the belief that this is a topic that and something that women do not struggle with, and that is just not true. And actually, healing for them has been pushed aside, which has actually been quite damaging, right? Many are under the belief that, why would women struggle with this? This is just something men struggle with, and that's just not true. And as I've read up and studied the many articles that Harvest USA has put out, there have been more women that have found healing and recovery from pornography since they have set up a women's ministry program. Another thing I want us all to know, and this right here is what broke me. This right here is what absolutely tore me apart. Our youth are being targeted. 11 is the average age youth are exposed to pornography. 94% of youth will see some form of porn by the age of 14. And here's the kicker. The porn industry knows it. Right? As youth are being exposed to what is now called a porn paradox, which means never before has there been a time where porn has been more popular, and never before has there been a time where porn is more violent. Right? So this is teaching youth that sex and violence go hand in hand. Right? It's actually known that young boys, after viewing some form of pornography, will come under the belief that sex and violence go together, right? This is how I'm seeing it for the first time. This is what I'm seeing, so it must be done like this. And this is completely false and against what God teaches, which is what we're going to get into a little bit. After listening to a podcast called Pure Desire, I learned that technology helps drive the porn industry. Right? Porn industry feeds off the latest technology and uses it for their benefit, especially to trying to expose it to youth. There are pornographic video games that are being produced in mass, right? That appear that they look innocent on the cover, but then when the youth are playing it, they actually have pornographic material in it. Virtual reality, which is a goggle-like type of technology, it's in the form of goggles, and you place it over your eyes, and it gives the viewer the appearance that they are actually in the movie they are watching. They are in the video game that they are playing, or they are at the sports game that they are watching. or when it comes to pornography, it gives the viewer the ability to think that they are in the scene that is being performed. Most of the latest tech is being developed with pornography in mind. And you know what? So here's the thing, right? And this is why this broke me. Because as I'm studying this and as I'm reading these books, I can't help but think of my son, right? And that he is going to be targeted, right? I can't help but think about the youth who the sponsors and I were called to serve here at Franconia Mennonite Church, and that right now they are being targeted. And I'm sorry if I appear a bit frazzled, but I have a problem with that. That's not okay, right? And so I am humbled. I am so grateful to be up here this morning to talk about this topic, to expose this darkness into light, so that we as a church can come together and stand together and say, this isn't right, and we're not going to stand for that. And I know that this is hard, right? I know that this is hard, and we don't want to believe that our youth are being targeted, but it's true, because this brings me into our next point, right, that I want us to know. This is not a backdoor operation. The porn industry is a corporation. As the peddler was disguised as the devil in the story earlier, the porn industry is disguised as a normal corporation in the world today. A corporation that brings in an annual revenue more than the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB combined. A corporation that brings in more annual revenue than NBC, CBS, and ABC combined. According to Webroot Cybersecurity, 40 million Americans visit pornographic sites regularly. Every second, 28,258 users are watching porn. Every second, $3,075.64 is being spent on pornographic sites. So in other words, we have a problem. Right, the porn industry in the world today, it's a struggle for both men and women. It's targeting our youth. It's disguised as a normal corporation today. And this is just being seen as normal in the world. It's normal. It's part of the world today. And that is not okay. According to a survey done by the Barna Group in 2016, they did a survey with 3,000 respondents of teens and young adults combined, and they had these perceptions about porn. 90% of teens and 96% of young adults are either encouraging, accepting, or neutral when they talk about porn with their friends. And this is exactly what John's letter is talking about. This does not come from the Father. This comes from the world. So there are many lies that the porn industry feeds into the world and that we actually are believing. And I'm just going to touch on a few this morning. We're going to get right into it. First off, it is not real. Porn is not real. It's not real life. It's totally and completely fake. The porn industry has ruined the image of sex. It advocates premarital sex, which is not what God intended for us. It is not what God has intended for a husband and wife. Genesis chapter 2, 24. Right? This is a beautiful, beautiful statement that comes right after Adam gives this poem-like statement when he sees Eve for the first time, right? Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. And it is for this reason that a husband leaves his father and mother and is joined together with his bride. The two shall become one flesh, right? United. God created sex for a husband and a wife to bring them closer together in unity. It is meant to be beautiful. Right? It is meant to be within the marriage. God created sex for children, and we know this from God telling Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. It's beautiful. But the porn industry has ruined that. This right here is an image from the TV show Full House. Now, look at this image and you think everything's okay, right? Everything's good. Nothing appears wrong with that. Let me ask you a question. Who sits at the dinner table like that? Who sits at the dinner table like that? Everyone on one side, right? You'll notice that anytime a scene like this is shot in this TV show, that those two chairs and that third chair right there on the end, they're normally always empty. Why? Because it's not pleasing to the viewer, right? The backs of the heads of those people in that scene would be to the viewer, and it wouldn't be pleasing to us. And the same goes for the porn industry. The porn industry, once a camera is introduced, this whole false world is set up. And all these scenes are done to make it more pleasing to the viewer, which is completely fake. And if that's not enough, the books I've read have talked about the abuse and the drugs that go on behind the camera that is absolutely cruel. And if you were here for the first time or you're watching online for the first time, I invite you to go back online to the sermon series on domestic violence and substance abuse that Pastor Josh did on these topics. Number two, what the porn industry doesn't want us to know. It wrecks our relationships and our view of men and women. Men cannot form proper relationships with women. In a book called Closing the Window by Tim Chester, he quotes the American Psychological Association, who concludes this: "The sexualization of girls is not just shattering the lives of girls and women. It is preventing boys and young men from relating to girls and women as complex human beings with so much to offer them." It goes on to say, "It is preventing boys and men from forming healthy relationships and working relationships." One anonymous man says this in the book. He says, "I'm single, and porn is probably the reason why. It has distorted my view of women." Right? In other words, that these boys and these young men who are viewing this, they're viewing these fake false images, and then they pull themselves out of this false world into the real world, and it doesn't compare. And it wrecks their view of women. "Well, that's not what I'm seeing, so I don't like that. I don't want that." And actually, it goes even further to say that this false world that they're viewing, they actually believe that that is the real world, and that this world they're living in today is fake, and they have it twisted. And then we bring women into the picture, and women feel like they can't compete with these images, these false images. And again, according to the same association, it says this in Tim Chester's book: "The saturation of sexualized images of females is leading to body hatred, eating disorders, low self-esteem, depression, high rates of teen pregnancy, and an unhealthy development in our girl children." Right? So women feel like they can't compete with these false images. And they start to do things to their bodies, such as eating disorders, to try and make themselves look like that, which is just not possible. It's not real. And high rates of teen pregnancy, right? And this is so sad right here. Because women feel like that men are just so glued to that picture, that book, that image, whatever they're looking at. And they feel like, "Well, maybe if I give myself over, he'll notice me." And that's fake news. That's not real. And instead of viewing each other as image bearers of our Heavenly Father, the porn industry sets up a view of men and women as objects. Genesis chapter 1, God says differently than this lie. "You were created in the Creator's image. In the image of God, you were created. Male and female, you were created." If you are here today or you're watching online and you are struggling with your image because of pornography, let me tell you this: you are beautiful, period. You're beautiful, and God wants you to know that. We are taught in the Old Testament that the kings in the Old Testament, when they would issue a decree, they would seal it with their signet ring, and nothing would break that. Nothing could overrule that decree once it's sealed with the signet ring. And hear me on this: when you were created, when God formed you together in your mother's womb, when he knitted you together, he didn't seal you with a ring. He sealed you with a kiss. The King of Kings sealed you with a kiss. You are beautiful, and nothing can break that. We are created in the Creator's image, and not only should we be careful of how we treat each other, we need to be careful how we view each other. Next thing the porn industry doesn't want us to know, porn weakens our relationship with God. Right? And technology has not made this any better. Technology in the world today has made pornography so easily accessible. Instant gratification, just like that. Just like the Skylark in the story today. He didn't need to dig at the unyielding ground. It's that instant gratification. And Tim Chester refers to this as the fight of faith, where we want to turn to God. We have a desire to turn to God, but it's so much easier to turn to porn. Here are a few quotes from anonymous men and women who talk about this struggle. One says, "I use porn instead of turning to God because it's so readily available. And in that moment, God doesn't seem to be near, even though I know he is." Another one says, "It's easier to turn to porn than God." And finally, "The only reason I didn't turn to God instead was that I didn't believe he was really satisfying and complete for what I need. I believed the lies of Genesis 3 all over again." the lies of Genesis 3, right? You see, in 1 John, we're told not to focus on the lies of the world, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all that comes from the world, and all these lies stem back to Genesis 3. And what do I mean by that? In my class that I took at Missio Seminary back in the spring, I took a class on Genesis. And on the first day of class, our professor asked us this question: what did God tell Adam and Eve? And one student raised their hand right away and they said, to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And my professor said, no. You see, that's the lie of Genesis 3. What did God tell them? God said, you were free to eat from any tree in the garden. Any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Right? God told them, you are free to eat any tree in the garden, just not this one. Any tree in the garden, just not this one. But then Satan, right? The enemy and the world come into the picture and they whisper, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Well, no, that completely contradicts what God said. God said, you're free to eat from any tree, just not this one. And this is it right here. These are the lies of Genesis 3. Did God really say you're not to eat from any tree? Did God really say that porn isn't that bad? You're not really having sex with anyone. Did God really say that that image isn't good to look at? Right? They're not really naked. Did God really say you're not supposed to read that book? You're not really having sex with anyone. You're just reading about it. Did God really say that? And that is totally and completely not true. Those are the lies of Genesis 3. Those are the lies that the porn industry has set in the world today. This industry in disguise that it wants us to believe these things. And then we commit the sin, right? We commit the sin. We read the book. We watch the video. We look at the image. And we feel this regret. We feel this regret. We feel this shame. And we want to take it back. We want to take it back. So we take it and we go and we collect all of our worms because we think we can handle it ourselves. And just like the story this morning that I started off with, the enemy has disappeared and we're left alone. Only that's what the porn industry and Satan, who has a foothold on this industry, want us to believe. That brings me to this fourth point. Porn makes us feel alone, but we're not. We're not. The industry of pornography has set up a world in which we're alone. We sin in secret. We watch the videos. We look at the images. We read the books in secret. We never talk about this with anybody because we don't want them to judge us, or we don't want them to let them know that we're sinning. And when we do talk about it, it's only those who are sinning too. And porn puts us into that situation where we are alone. And the problem with this is that we believe it. And I'm here to say, you're not alone. That's why community is so important. A community of accountability partners to help each other with this struggle. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Accountability helps our spiritual growth. Humility breaks the cycle of pride, which is telling us we can do this on our own, right? Pride is telling us we can do this on our own, which is exactly what the porn industry and the enemy want us to believe, because they know we can't. We can't do it on our own. And as community is important, sometimes there are those who don't want to face the community, or they can't face the community. We get deep into the darkness of shame, thinking that I am wrong, I am worthless, I am dirty, right? Remember the skylark, two small feathers was how it started. It starts out small, right? It starts out with just looking at an image or on social media or wherever, and then we get deeper and deeper into it, and then we start wondering, how did I end up here? It starts with lust, which tells us, I want this. And then from lust, it goes to entitlement, which tells us, I deserve this. You know what? I deserve this. I have had a stressful week. I deserve this. And then we sin, right? And then we sin, and we feel this shame, this regret. But then it goes to the pride of life, right? Just as John was talking about, that does not come from the Father. It comes from the world. But the pride of life tells us we can do this on our own. We can handle it on our own. Humility breaks that cycle of pride, but we're too shameful to turn to God because we get to the point where we try to buy our feathers back ourselves. One person puts it this way: I feel dirty and unable to approach God after looking at porn. You know, later in 1 John, we read this, and now, dear children, continue in him. so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before his coming. A lot of us struggle with shame, and pornography pushes us deeper into that shame. And John tells us here that as we live in Christ, trusting in Christ, trusting him for the forgiveness of our sins, walking with him, following him constantly, we will have no reason to be ashamed, especially when he returns. And as we rest in Christ, this is important, as we rest in Christ, we can rest easy knowing that we are loved and that we are accepted because we are children of God. But that's hard for us. In this fallen world, that's hard for us to believe. You know, Billy Graham puts it this way. He says, it's easier to not be a Christian in this world. And what did he mean by that, right? Well, you see, the world is going in this direction right here. And that moment that we accept Christ into our hearts, we turn this way and we're already facing the current. We are already facing the current of the world, which is just telling us it's easier to turn this way. It's easier to listen to the lies. Just follow the stream, right? You can't handle it. The current is too strong. It's easier to turn this way. And we do. We listen. And we are just on the stream of the world, following the stream of the world. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus goes to dinner with Levi, the tax collector, right? And this is blowing the minds of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are saying, why are you eating with sinners? He's eating with sinners. Why are you eating with sinners? And Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. You see, and I believe that Jesus just wasn't eating with those sinners. He was pursuing them. And as we are on the stream of the world, following the current of the world, Jesus is right behind us with his hand pursuing us. And all we need to do is realize that when we turn and we face Jesus, we have a hand right there ready to take hold of us and help us up that strong current. We have a hand right there waiting for you. So are you going to believe the lies of the world and continue down that current? Or are you going to take the hand of Christ? If you are struggling with pornography, please know that you are loved, you are accepted, and God is pursuing you to turn towards him. Take his hand, because I'm telling you right now, you deserve to take the hand of Christ as much as anybody else in this world, because we are all sinners, and we all need help. As the rabbi finished his story, Cusack continues on with this line. He says, we were created to fly. We were meant to fly with the Holy Spirit blowing his wind underneath our wings, guiding us on the path that God has intended for us. Friends, don't give up your feathers. Don't give up your feathers for worms. And if you do, please don't try to buy them back. Know that God can restore them. His hand is waiting for you. Our scripture that Pete read ends with this in verse 17. The world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And I'm going to put it this way, in the simplest way I think I can. It's not worth it. It's not worth your eternity. A few minutes of satisfaction are not worth it. The skylark thought he was getting a big reward, when in reality, he lost his wings. He lost everything. Jesus Christ is waiting for you. Take his hand. Don't lose your everything. Don't listen to the lies that pornography has set into this world. Don't listen to the lies of the world. I heard it said, put this way. Only one life till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Just let that sink in. And so I'm going to end with two things here. One, I want to just talk about the handout that's in your bulletin. And if you look at it, let me just tell you, if you're struggling with pornography, I know it's hard, right? And I know that it can be difficult to talk about it. And this is why I put these resources in your bulletin that I've came across. Harvest USA, which John Freeman, the founder, is going to be here Wednesday night. And I ask you, if you can be here Wednesday night, please do, because he's going to continue to speak of these lies that the porn industry has set in the world today. And he's going to continue to help us expose this darkness into the light. And I realize that coming from a pastor, it can be awkward, but I am here to help in any type of way that I can. So are Mark, Josh, and Larry. And I know it can be awkward to come to your pastor if you're struggling on these issues, which is why I put information about Harvest USA there. And if it's awkward to come and talk to us, please give them a call. They have a great ministry. I know many people that are going through it with Harvest USA. The men's program, the women's program, they will help you through this struggle. And then underneath the half sheet, there's a part that talks about protection software that you can set up in your home. And even if you're not struggling with this, I would recommend it because 32% of searches that come up are actually unwanted. So I just ask that you please consider that. Parents, I ask that you talk about it with one another, pray about it yourself. And underneath there's a little tear-off part right there. If you were interested in having more information about protection software in your home and what that looks like, just please check that. And there's a basket right in the back behind the sound booth or right on the side of the doors here. And just place it in so I can gauge the interest. I would be more than happy to lead a seminar on a Sunday evening, 45 minutes to an hour, to talk about this and give you more information. And then finally, I really appreciated how Mark and Josh ended each sermon with a word to the congregation, and that's how I want to end today too. In my preparation for this message, I had a really hard time. I really did. I struggled just reading this information because it broke me down. I wasn't even sure if I could be up here to do this morning because of just the cruel and how damaging this is on so many lives. And during my prep, I came across a letter from a father to his daughter. And as I read this letter, I was deeply, deeply touched by the ending. As I read this letter, I thought of my son. I thought of my wife. I thought of my family. I thought of my colleagues. I thought of my friends and their children. I thought about this series we're going through, and I thought about all of you. Tim Geiger, he's the president of Harvest USA, and he's the author of this letter. And I'm going to read this ending to you. And I changed around one part to make it fit for us all here today. And this is not only how we're going to wrap up this sermon today. This is how I want us to wrap up this whole entire series. So whether it's domestic violence, racism, mental illness, substance abuse, pornography, or anything outside of those topics that you were dealing with, whether you're going through that struggle today, whether you're going through it right now, this week, this month, I beg of you to hear these words. You are imperfectly loved by me, but perfectly loved by the Father. As a pastor, a father, a husband, a son, a brother, an uncle, and a friend, I will continue to lead, cover, and nurture you imperfectly as long as I live. But your heavenly Father loves you perfectly. He knows you perfectly and delights in you always. You are his precious children. He loves you well in all the ways in which I sometimes fail you. When you feel unloved, turn to him. When you feel lonely, seek first his companionship. When you feel rejected, seek comfort in his presence. Don't look primarily for love and meaning in your human relationships, but glory in your relationships with Jesus. Glory in your relationship with Jesus. Let's sing.